very well. Post-cookie life, it's not too bad now.
It's not too bad. What are you doing in England there now, Chris?
Well, for work-wise, I go around and I tell my story, and I go to colleges, I go to schools, mm-hmm. I go to various places and give talks, mm-hmm. Using my life experience mm-hmm. As an example to have a discussion. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been so many bits to it, the ups and the downs of it, and all of it in the end is serving me quite well, mm-hmm. as it happens.
Yes, and of course you've had some ups and you've had some downs, and you're being inspired to speak to people about it. And I imagine that the word is coming through as well, getting through to those people, isn't it, Chris?
Well, you would like to think so, but within these things, you tell yourself that if one person listens and it has some sort of effect in their experience in a positive way, mm-hmm. You're doing well. Mm-hmm. The things that I've learned through my career, I certainly wish I'd known them when I was younger. It mm-hmm. would have made that path mm-hmm. a little bit smoother and a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. So from that point of view, sharing what I know seems an obvious thing to do, you know, and something that actually I enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm. No, we were on the discussion, of course, of West Indies cricket. You would have left Guyana at 10, went with your parents, son. But you're looking on. You must be very worried about what's happening in West Indies cricket, Chris.
Listen, I mean, I think first and foremost, with everybody here, I'm looking at West Indies cricket from a great distance. And I suppose what I would say is that I'm a West Indian fan, as I've always been. Although I came to England and I made my life in England playing for England, West Indies cricket has always been a part of me. It was that thing, and all the stars, including Andy, who we've got here, was that thing that inspired me. Mm-hmm. To take up a bat as a young person as a ball. So to watch the West Indies team, West Indies cricket, not thriving, not playing the level of cricket that a lot of us perhaps have come to expect and still wish we could see, it is a painful thing. But on the flip side of that, we're in a world, I think Andy touched on it, everybody else has got better. So it's a difficult environment, and at the same time, perhaps we believe a little bit of the hype that I heard as a young boy, that we were naturally talented and it was easy for us. So perhaps we didn't put in the work in certain areas that everybody else did over a period of time. And unfortunately, that's showing up on a regular basis. So you would hope something would be done, and for all of us supporters, because I'm speaking as a supporter, very soon, because I'll be honest, it's kind of personal. it's that important. Mm-hmm. It's something that we've all grown up, and to see the West Indies team, let's say perhaps in New Zealand, the last couple of tests, not to perform to a standard that we would want, it cuts deep. But I'm looking from a distance, so I don't know the ins and outs. But just wish them all the best, and that's everybody concerned, because I think we all want the same thing. Mm. It's how we get about that, and it's been a while now. Mm. So something has to be done, I would suggest, because whatever has been done for the last few years clearly hasn't worked. You know, what that thing is, unfortunately, I don't know from all the way from England, to be honest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. Well, of course, in terms of administration, I mean, Tim Boyce, who is, of course, from the Barbados Cricket Association. I know, Tim, your association, you've had some serious challenges and some serious concerns, and the whole question of the financial distress. Your view, Tim, as a member of the Barbados Cricket Association, a director of the Barbados Cricket Association in relation to what's going on with West Indies cricket. Good evening to you, sir, Tim. Tim?
Turn on your microphone, Tim.
All right.
Tim. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. We can.
I've listened to the program from the start, and I've heard a lot of comments coming from the various contributors, and they're making sense, but we got to take that beyond the sense. One of the questions that I heard asked was, where are we now in terms of winning ways? Andrew, when we changed the administration, mm-hmm. we expected a lot more from the current administration. Because when the administration was changed, as soon as we won, we had just beaten England. And as soon as we won, that new administration, I have to make that point, they fired every member of that winning team. Mm. And when they did that, they established that principle. In my view, that people start how they intend to continue. And that continuation is what you're experiencing right now. If we wanted to change the administration, we should have done that. But you don't fire a winning combination. Mm. You demoralize the players that have just won, and you put them reporting to a new management. And that doesn't make management sense. And then we find ourselves moving from there right into the pandemic. And we play cricket in the pandemic. And I heard Mr.
Johnny Grave.
What's his name? Your English.
Johnny Grave.
I heard him. Yeah, he comes on very often and he's very eloquent in his presentation. But if you sum up everything that Johnny Grave says, if you put all them together, they're all every week is virtually the same thing. Mm. And I'm saying... And because the Englishman is very good at presentation, you must remember that. Implementation is a different ball game. I am still concerned that we went to England mm-hmm. and carried our team to England in that pandemic. And we cut the guy's wages. Now imagine you're going to work in the most, you're going to war, and you get your wages cut in half, and you are expected to perform. You cut the guy's wages, and then you go to England. They're in the bubble. They're playing cricket that they've never, in the conditions they've never experienced before. And we expect them to perform. In the meantime, that tour, if we had not gone there, the first people out in the block were the traditional Caribbean West Indian man, the guinea pigs.
True.
England made £380 million. If we had not gone, they would have made nothing. And all we got from that was a $3 million US dollar loan. Mm. Come on, man. You have to negotiate better than that. And don't tell me that this was part of the tours. It is not. New Zealand was supposed to come here. Did they come?
No.
Agree.
No. So why didn't we negotiate? If we had negotiated 20% of that, because at the end of the day, what we need in the West Indies is money to carry on the program that is necessary, because we still always forget that we dominated cricket when our cricketers were performing in England and learning the professionalism in England, good raw material. But it was being practiced in England, so they knew what to expect, because they're playing for 7 days a week. That was stopped when England realized what was beating them so much. And we have now to create that atmosphere here. We had a high performance center here at the University of the West Indies. But you know, that was closed. And I don't think it was closed by a West Indian. It was closed by employees. The University of West Indies are producing management people on a daily basis. But we can't find people in the West Indies to manage our affairs in cricket. Mm. We have some of the best cricketers the world has ever seen. Where are they in relation to our cricket? Where are great baseballers? Why aren't they in England and New Zealand where the guys are and telling these guys how to use that those conditions? You have to. Bradshaw said it better than anybody at school. We need to have these guys around the cricket. You can't wait till these guys can do it no more and then ask them to come on and come up with a stick. We need to bring our cricketers back, but we need to look at the administration that we have first. I tell you, this present administration, I expected a lot from them. They've added no value or innovation since they came to power. And I'll sit back and watch, and we'll try to do our best to make sure that we make any recommendations that we can. But I tell you, there is a lot that needs to be done in order to move us to the next level. And it must. And I don't believe in having coaches at test level. I think the coaches must be at the primary level. That is when you need the coaching. If Jason Holder had that kind of hard coaching at that level, he would not be delivering a fast ball and bending over. He would have been foot in the air and using that height that he had and producing it how our great place ballers used to produce. So we need coaches. The aspects and those, keep them at the level of primary school, because that's when you're going to think that's when you're going to bring up the best in the youngsters, and you're going to train them the way they should go. You can't wait till the fellas are test cricketer and try to change his technique. Look at our opening batsman. He bats in the crease and plays with his right foot first, and he's opening batsman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tim. I know Fazir is going to leave us now. Fazir, this is Tim Boyce, of course, who is a member of the Barbados Cricket Association. Huh? So he's made some very interesting comments there. And he's, in fact, saying that...
Yes, he has, Andrew. I hear it, but I'm 55 years old. And since I've been 30 years old, I've been hearing the same thing. Okay. And nothing has changed. So with the greatest respect to Mr. Boyce, I've been hearing the same thing for 25 years. So because time is going by, I just want to ask Chris, who's been kind enough to be with us close to midnight, that in speaking with young people, Chris, I just wanted to get a sense from you, if I can, because I'm tired of going around in circles for 25 years. There's that concern about people of color in the English cricket scene, especially those of African descent, whether they're from the Caribbean or Africa or whatever. In just a few seconds, can you say why? Is it because the allure of football? Is it that the cricket is dying in the inner communities in the UK?
My observation, I suppose just my observation and opinion about it, is that looking back now, I think the people who played cricket, a lot of the West Indies who played cricket, certainly when I went to England, had a very strong tie to the Caribbean. A lot of them had just come, or their parents had just come. And cricket was still very, very strong within them. It was a natural thing for them to go out and play cricket. I observe, looking around now, that it isn't so. In a lot of places, cricket isn't offered up, even as an alternative. You speak to young black males, and cricket isn't even a choice. It's, for a lot of them, something they haven't even really come across. So there just isn't, for my observation, the same level of participation. Not the same connection, I think, in many places to the game, the way it was.
Yeah, and that's disappointing. Andrew, I have to take my leave now. Chris, it's been a privilege being with you, and indeed everyone else involved in the discussion. I just wish, just as a final comment in 10 seconds, I would just wish that we would move beyond the tireless cycle of discussions that we have and really deal with the fundamental issues in West Indies cricket. Gentlemen, have a good evening, everybody. It's been a privilege once again.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you very much indeed, Fazir. All right. Let's go back now to Franklin Rose. Franklin, I mean, we've been saying the same things all the time, Frankie. I mean, is it going to continue, Frankie? We need.
I'm totally agree with Faz. This has been going on for years, right, and we need to make some changes. One of the problems I've seen in local domestic cricket over the years is the standard, the quality of cricket is poor.
Mm.
So when these guys perform at the first class level, and of course you have to pick them to represent the West Indies, you know, you play against some mediocre bowlers, you know, no disrespect, but it's a fact. I think we need to improve our first class cricket.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the days when West Indies dominate cricket, most of the guys play county cricket. How many guys playing county cricket at the moment?
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
There's none. We need to do something with our grassroots. You know, the development of cricket, that's where it starts from. You know, we need guys to bat for 2 days. We need bowlers to bowl 30, 35 overs in a day without worrying about injuries. We don't find that anymore. We do not have any match winners, someone to make 150 runs, someone to take 5 wickets. So we need to find solutions. You know, and the guys are good enough to compete, but something is wrong upstairs. You know, mentally and physically preparation is lacking. So it's a tricky question, you know. We need to find some form of solution, but as the gentleman said earlier from Barbados, what's his name? He's on the administration.
Tim Boyce, member of the Barbados Cricket Association.
Yeah. We won that trophy and against England, and then we changed the entire team. You cannot change a winning team.
You can't.
So, you know, back in my days, there has been a lot of political problem in West Indies cricket.
Oh dear, really?
And it's still obvious. Yeah, of course. Come on, it's obvious. You know that, Andrew. Everybody knows that.
Yes.
But, you know, we need to find solution to get... Cricket is more competitive, don't get me wrong, no, than back in the days. But I'm sure we can find 11 good guys to compete against the rest of the world. It's not going to be easy. You know, we have guys bowling 90 miles per hour. You know, we have Darren Bravo, been there for 5-10 years, who should be the Brian Lara in the team at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but something is lacking. You know, we should be relying on Kemar Roach. He has been there over 10 years. You know, something is lacking there. I'm not pointing any finger, but the more seniority you play, the more games you play, you should be more dominant, just like the Walsh and the Ambrose and the Lara. Those guys dominate their last 5-10 years.
Mm.
We don't have that. You know, the Bravos and the Kemar Roach, you know, our two main players that we should be depending on. As I said, I'm not pointing any fingers. You know, we can't point any finger and Kemar Roach said he's going to get a 5-wicket. A Darren Bravo going to bat for 2 days. Do we have any spin bowlers?
No.
Mm-mm. No.
No, we're in trouble. Yeah,
so we need solutions.
No, we're in trouble.
I'm a diehard cricket fan, West Indies cricket fan, and I would love to see them go back on top. It's not going to be easy. And I think there's another problem. I think the guys more targeting the shorter version of cricket.
Right.
Than the test cricket, you know. When we dominate world cricket at test level, you're more recognized than the 2020 and the one day. Yes, it's okay to win a World Cup, but that's just 50 overs of cricket. Anybody can win on a given day. But test cricket, five-day cricket, that's the real cricket. So we need guys in our local cricket to more focus on test cricket. You know, we have some of the most, in 20 cricket worldwide, most of the players are from the West Indies. So it goes to show we're dominating in the shorter version of the cricket. Why can't we do that in test matches?
Mm-hmm.
Are we chasing the money?
Serious.
You know, other players from England, Australia, South Africa, New Zealand playing 20 cricket, and they're doing well in test cricket as well. So why can't we?
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, we got just another...
So I'll leave it to you guys to find a solution.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go to Ian Bradshaw. Solutions, Ian? Solutions. Talk to about solutions.
We all have our own opinions about where forward, Andrew.
Mm.
It's simple. Now, players have to accept responsibility first. The players, we go out on the field. It's our job to perform. So it's going to be important that the players put up their hands first and accept the responsibility to prepare harder and get better. The administrators, we've had challenges from administrators for years. Even when we were dominant, there was issues with the administrators. So if I had to put my hand on one thing, is that I want to ensure that the preparation of the players are better. Mm-hmm. I want to see players armed with more information and going on onto that field. And let's get away from the excuses.
Mm-hmm. Now let's come to you, Chris, and we're going to end with Tim. Two things, Chris. We got to certainly do a part two. Of course, we got to, you know, go back, of course, when you started playing cricket. We're going to certainly do that pretty soon, maybe next week if we've got the time. If you had to make a recommendation to Cricket West Indies, you're an outsider, well, in that you're over in England, what would you say to them to improve West Indies cricket? What would you say to them?
Looking from afar, I wouldn't necessarily say this one thing. Mm. I see the players. I don't know what's going on directly in West Indian administration. I look from a distance and I watch the players try to perform. I see them being very apprehensive. Mm. What I would say is that people have to start believing that they belong where they are. We all believe that it isn't a question that we're not good enough. We all believe that in some way, shape or form, that there's something lacking, whether that's in application or preparation, mm-hmm. and information. And you watch the players go out, or I watch the players go out and face opposition, and that all rings true. There's something left behind. There's apprehension. There's, as a fast bowler, Franklin will tell you, that you notice a stutter in the feet and things not moving very quickly.
Yep, you do. Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and from a distance watching, I'm not necessarily seeing batsmen who are overly confident of actually batting for long times. Mm. To be perfectly honest. Mm. I don't know whether that's a question of belief, whether people are struggling to believe that they can perform to that high level, the highest level they can, whether they're getting all the assistance that they need, all the information they need, whether they're getting all the support they need. But this is West Indies cricket, and we all profess to love West Indies cricket, so why can't we all get together and sort this out? We have the expertise. We've got players, and so many players, who've performed at the highest level and were the best at the highest level. We have that information there. Mm-hmm. And as a group, mm-hmm. I find it really hard to understand from a distance why we can't put that all together. Mm-hmm. Because I'm 100% sure mm-hmm. if we did, mm-hmm. that we would see the sort of improvement we want. I'm not saying that overnight West Indies would rule the world. But there's a stagnation that seems to be going on for a while now. And where there's stagnation, you always know that there's something left behind. Mm. Otherwise, there wouldn't be. Mm.
Chris, we got to leave it there. But you can be rest assured that I'm going to come back to you very soon. Tim, we got 30 seconds left on the show. And you're going to get into trouble, you know, Tim. You're a member of the Barbados Cricket Association, and you're criticizing Cricket West Indies. Are you afraid, Tim, that you may get into trouble after that comment, Tim? You're going to be in trouble.
I'm not speaking as a member of the Barbados Cricket Association, though.
Oh.
But, Andrew, let me leave this with you.
Yes.
The guys, like say, we just lost in England, and we just lost in New Zealand also.
Yes.
If we had a high-performance centre, those players that just went there, including the coaches,
yes,
they will come back and spend the next 5 days in the high performance center. And we will have a player review and a management review. And that kind of information is the information that would take us into decision making going forward. Mm-hmm. We need that high performance back. We need an ongoing player review. And above all things, we need to have some money to make sure that we could implement our plans.
Mm-hmm. All right, Tim.
That high performance center must come back.
All right, we're going to leave it there, Tim. It's been a pleasure. I'm sure you're going to make headlines, a BCA member. I'm sure people are going to see you as a BCA member criticizing Cricket West Indies. And I'm sure that my very good friend Ricky Skerritt would have heard about it. And Dr. Shallow, they listen to the show. So, Tim, you could be in some hot water. I want to thank you very much indeed, Chris Lewis. We're going to certainly do a part two. Thanks to you, Ian Bradshaw. And, of course, my very good friend there, Franklin Rose, there in Jamaica, preparing for his Christmas. And, of course, we also want to thank, of course, Johnny Grave, who was with us earlier. Fazir Muhammad came through and spoke to us as well. And we had Garfield Charles. And what a wonderful combination tonight on Missing the Guest. And, of course, we also had you, Dr. Ford. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a bride tomorrow. It's good night.